Now he says here, and notice this, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit, how through faith. Now, Israel had the law for 1,500 years. They never made it by law. Peter, you remember, said that. He made that statement very clear at the Council of Jerusalem in Acts 15. He said, we and our fathers, we were not able to keep the law. Why do we want to put the Gentiles under it? Now, if they could not keep it, we cannot keep it. Suppose you make a contract with a man, and then about a year later, you've agreed to pay him $100, let's say. Get it down in my size money, $100. And you say, well, I just think I'll pay him $50. And you go and say, here's $50. And the man says, well, wait a minute, you agreed to pay $100. He says, well, I've changed that. The man says, no, you don't. You can't change your contract after it's been made. Now, God made a promise to Abraham. He'd save him by faith. When the law came along, it did not disannul God's promise that he made to Abraham. It was a threefold promise. That, my friend, is very important to see. God saves by faith, and the coming of the law never changed that one whit. Therefore, God now has made it to those like Abraham. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed which is Christ. And so God had called Abraham, going to make him a blessing to the world. How did he make him a blessing to the world? Through Jesus Christ, my friend. He is the one that has brought salvation to the world. Now, he moves on down in making a contrast between law and grace. And he says in verse 17, and this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. Now, what he's saying here is, of course, that God made a promise or gave a promise to Abraham, made a covenant with him. Now, when the law came along 430 years later, well, it didn't change it at all, because you see that the law changed nothing as far as the promises made to Abraham are concerned. And actually, God has never gone back on those promises. He said of Abraham, I'm going to give you this land. I'm going to give you a son and a people that will be as numberless as the sand on the seashore and the stars in heaven. And I'm also going to make you a blessing to all people. Now, God has brought from Abraham that nation. Several nations came from him, but that nation came from Abraham, that the promises were given through Isaac, and lead down to the Lord Jesus Christ, the seed that's mentioned here. And God also said that he was going to make him a blessing to all people. And the only blessing today, friends, in this world is in Christ. You're not going to get a very good deal today. I don't think you'll get a good deal from your neighbors. I don't think you'll get a good deal in your church. I don't think you'll get a good deal in business. I just don't think this world's prepared to give you a good deal. But may I say to you, the Lord Jesus Christ has been given to you. That's a good deal, by the way. And that is the supreme gift that God has made. And it's a promise that he's made. He'd save those who would trust Christ. Now, will you notice, he says, for if the inheritance be of the law, it's no more a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. That's verse 18. Now, the important thing to note here is this. The promise was made concerning Christ before the law came in, and that promise holds as good as though there'd been no law given, friends. It's made irrespective of it. Now, there is a question that arises. The point is, then what value was the law? Why was it given? Paul is not playing down the law. If you think That's what he's doing. He's trying to help these people understand the purpose of the law. Why was the law given? That is the important thing. Paul's not attempting to say that the law did not have a glory and a majesty attached to it. And Paul is not even about to play it down to the extent where actually it amounts to nothing at all. That's not his method. It's not what he's attempting to do. He shows the law here in all of its majesty and its fullness and its perfection, but he shows that that very perfection that the law reveals is the reason that it creates a hurdle that you and I can't get over in order to be accepted of God.